We're moving right into the next Birds of a Feather. And after this, there's going to be games in the hospitality room. Okay, so let's see. Welcome to the National AA Technology Workshop 2019, held in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Oh yeah, I guess you got to push that. Well, I don't know. Do we need to push that if we're not recording this movie? Yeah? Okay. Let's see. Tonight's topic is anonymity and social media and the internet. And it was submitted by Adam. What's your last initial? Adam B. You guys are going to kind of be on your own tonight in this session. So, and Adam, you don't have to stand up here if you don't want to. You guys can just talk to each other from the small mics. And let's see. It would be helpful to me if someone could, if you guys could just close when you're done, you know, go through the speakers when you're done, because I'm moving out to another room. But I will be around after that. So I'm going to let Adam sort of maybe start off with why he brought up this topic, and then you guys can kick it off from there, okay? All right.
Adam Bliss, alcoholic. I was painfully unaware that choosing a topic meant that you got to start it off. So here we go. So I brought up this topic because it seems pretty pertinent to this conference and these things going on in general today. You see people posting all kinds of stuff on Facebook, posting. It just seems like there's a lot of information out there and a lot of people checking the traditions against what people are doing online and stuff like that. And so I was just going to share what I do and my opinion of it and then get some feedback from you guys on what you do and your opinions on that. As far as my own recovery, I think other people have touched on this. I definitely don't shy away from the fact that I'm in recovery in person or on social media. I don't share that I'm a part of AA unless I'm having a personal conversation with somebody who's asking me how I stay sober. In that case, I will share with them what I do and, you know, offer to take them to a meeting if they're interested in that. I also recently had somebody asking me about, I'm involved with IAPA, which is Iowa Young People and Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's a conference in Iowa for, Young People in Alcoholics Anonymous, or young at heart. And there's a lot of private Facebook groups involved with that. And somebody had asked me about creating a Facebook entity or page for IAPA itself so that they could post events on other people's pages without breaking their anonymity. So we were just discussing that over Facebook. You know, there's plenty of people that post that they're in AA on their public pages on Facebook. Obviously, that, in my opinion, that would be against their traditions, but I'm not the AA police. People do typically. But in my opinion, I do like to share that I'm in recovery because there's so many people that don't know I'm in recovery, and I want them to know because I want them to have that opportunity to reach out to me if they're going through something. And there's a friends group of my wife's friends from high school, and that they've just been riddled with alcoholism and opioid addiction. I just want them to know that recovery's out there and available, but I want it to be attraction rather than promotion. So that's why I share my own recovery, but I leave AA out of it. I'm really excited for this topic and to hear everyone's feedback. So sit down and let other people come up and talk.
I'm Joel. I'm an alcoholic. The reason I'm jumping into this is because this I love this. And I'm going to apologize for this in advance. Sorry if you have soft ears. But if you haven't seen this post on Facebook, I was sharing it earlier. Getting on Facebook is like, if you're walking on the sidewalk and you see a pile of dog shit, do you walk around it or do you step in it? And then when you step in it, do you bitch about stepping in it? you made the decision to get on Facebook. Everybody knows what it is. And if you don't understand it, and I've taken time to try and talk to people, because we have really, because you know, down in the South, this is a little bit Bible Belt, down in the South, they get really hard-nosed and really crazy about it. You know, they don't understand Facebook if they're bitching about that. Because obviously they don't understand how to set the privacy settings. There's all types of stuff to avoid these issues. And the tools are there to be able to do it, but like most people that complain about technology, they don't know how to figure it out. And, you know, is it worth even having that conversation with somebody that's going to do nothing but complain? And on top of that fact, are they the majority or are they the minority on a two-thirds vote? So, you know, I'm one to stand up and say, go for it, do what you need to do, close the group, but make sure you understand the privacy settings and how that works. And if you invite people to these groups, obviously, I think most of us should know. There are rules and checks and marks, and even in your own profile, how you can share your information and anything not. So even within the settings of setting up the private or closed group, there's ways of doing it. Today we are all communicating via social media. And if you want me to give you an idea, because I do a lot of promos and a lot of help, I help a lot of people with social media and websites and things. From a business level, there's 14 million people in Houston area. 14 million. But people would be scared about that. So I don't want 14 million people to know I'm an alcoholic. Well, you know, if I'm trying to help people, you know, I'm very avid too. I don't grandstand that I'm an alcoholic or recovery or anything like that, but I don't shy away from posting something that I think might reach somebody and help somebody. That's a huge thing. Because, you know, social media is where everybody's at. And to give you an idea, because if you don't understand the science of internet and Google and Facebook, social media, most websites are just a pogo stick to get somebody to social media. That's what websites are today. We're the few people, entities left that actually use websites. Big corporations use them, of course, for information and stuff like that. When you're trying to promote, when you're trying to communicate, when you're trying to do business, that's websites are just pogo stick. They just bounce you right back over to social media. LinkedIn, I'm big on LinkedIn. I got like 4,000 followers at LinkedIn. I'm one of the guys on LinkedIn that says, yeah, that's not the way it works. But, you know, I'm just one of those guys on LinkedIn. But I don't do a lot of Twitter anymore or some of the other stuff. You know, this era where people are fighting social media, they're the ones that are losing out because they're the ones that are not helping the masses and trying to keep people and spreading the word, spreading the message. And that's one of the things that I preach a lot of, that people don't want to hear. You know, in our area, there's just a lot of resistance, but I just keep preaching it. Now, you know, 2 years later, being in that area, coming back from Chicago, we're using QR codes. And we're using electronic event registration. And we've gone from 20% online registration to 60 to 70% online registration. And it's not just me. I mean, I'm not the only one, but I've been out there preaching it. I make enemies along the way. I piss people off, but I don't care. Because I want to help as many people as I can. Because ultimately, we're here about communicating electronically and websites and all this stuff. But we can't be shy about trying to reach out where the, especially the, and I don't know if a lot of people, I do, and I know I'm talking a little bit more, I should, but young people in AA, you know, they've been talking about adding young people section to the big news division to the big division. You know, 25 and under are not looking at websites. They're looking at Instagram. They're looking at all these other things. And that's the only way we're going to reach them. Because I did a teen recovery group for a meeting inside of a recovery house for a year and figured out I'm 49 years old. I have no idea how to communicate with these kids. I just ran the meeting. I let them do their thing. It's just unbelievable how we're not reaching young people. And so I get a little bit passionate about that when people start going, we can't be on Facebook. No. Everybody else is. Everybody is. So.
My name is Bob, and I'm an alcoholic. I've been in the website business and technology since the early 90s. And I see the value in a lot of these things. But I do have major concerns about people associating themselves with AA. I don't have a problem with a website having having a Facebook section, but it can't be it can't be connected to an individual. That individual needs to maintain anonymity from AA. And the reason for that is if they go down, other people can go down that same road to following that person. What if that person gets vindictive about AA? I look at that, what's his name? Michael Brand or Richard Brand, something. He's a big guy in TV. He's hip with the kids and, he's kind of vulgar, to be honest, but, you know, I watched Howard Stern and stuff like that, so I know I'm not a curmudgeon. But at the same time, I go, look, if all of a sudden he's talking, he rewrote the steps so that they're cooler and hipper and shorter, and they use the word fuck a lot. So I'm not impressed, whatever. And I don't know... I think it should be something that's pounded into the youth about do not post your things about AA. This is important. It was something that was important to the guys back in 1940, 50, 60, 70, 80. It's never not been important to say, hey, AA needs to be protected from me. I can go drink any day. And if you all are thinking, hey, Bob's the guy, it's all about Bob. And then all of a sudden Bob goes down, then you're looking, then you're going, oh, well, maybe AA doesn't work. Maybe that's not the way to go. Look at what happened to Bob. So that's what they thought about back then. I don't think it's any different. I fell prey to it too. I set up a Tri-County page and I thought, okay, well, we'll get some people. And then I said, wow, I can't post anything without my name being attached to it. I can't post anything about Chucky Paw or Icky Paw or any of our youth group things and not have my name associated to it. Now, if I put something on Tri-County, I'm with this guy. I believe Facebook is a great way to get to people, but it can't, they cannot be allowed to associate themselves to that cause. That's just one of the most important things. And I don't think just because the technology's here and the technology isn't there to protect our privacy, that we need to give up that privacy and that anonymity. I think that if the technology can't do it, then the technology's failing us and we don't need to jump onto something like that. But find its place and find a way to use it so that you can, if you can't be anonymous, if you can't keep your anonymity, then don't do it.
Hi, I'm Peter. I'm an alcoholic. One of the things that I've heard before is that there is a difference between posting about your sobriety and posting about AA. Like a post that says, I'm sober, could be fine, but posting I'm sober because of AA and the 12 steps, that's no good. So there is that kind of gray line, that fine line where, you know, you post the Roman numerals when it's your birthday or whatever, and someone's like, hey, keep coming back. Like, you know, you kind of just blew your own anonymity there, even though you didn't quite say you're in AA. It's like, it's not your birthday. Your birthday is in November. It's July, man. What's going on? And it all comes down to, like, just realizing what you're posting on a public level out there, just normal. I've been off Facebook, I don't know, a year at this point. And it's awesome, because it was, I don't know, a lot of stuff that riles me up, politics and just stuff I didn't want to see and deal with. And it's great. But I understand that, you know, most of the world still uses Facebook and it's kind of growing and getting more mainstream and everybody's grandma's on that. So it is part of the world that we live in that you've got to deal with. That being said, I know there are private groups. There are ways to communicate amongst ourselves as AA members about what we're going on, what's going on, and what we're doing, without posting on the public level, kind of closed groups, private groups that is not intended for public visibility, but have to keep in mind that, like, I guess nothing is truly private nowadays. That it, one of the old timers I hang out with says that no meeting is truly ever a closed meeting because you never know who's going to wander out. And then while they're sitting at the bar, just spill your business anyway. So, I mean, it's one of those things where you have to be careful with what you put out there anyway. You know, people screenshot stuff, and it's just the world we live in. And other random thought, not just Facebook, but there's the other platforms, like Instagram, that's sort of not anonymous. But the one that I use more than anything is Reddit. And Reddit is kind of anonymous based on its nature. It's not Peter M that posts. There's no profile picture. It's throwaway account 123, and you can just make any number of accounts and post about whatever you want. And there's also an active community on there. One of the subreddits is Stop Drinking, where people come to get support with their struggles with alcoholism and wanting to stop. On Reddit, it's kind of popular to bash AA, with the religious aspect, spiritual aspect, however that may be viewed. But there is also good recovery that goes on there. But again, it's that whole thing where even though it's not my profile linked to my name, I should still be assuming that what I'm posting could go public, even though my name's not associated with it, and it could still just look bad on AA. I don't know. Those are random musings on anonymity and social media. Thank you.
Drug alcoholic. This topic seems to come up. This topic seems to come up every year. I don't know that my. I'm still open and don't know that I have a closed mind on it, but my belief is. I've joined a few of those Facebook groups just because that's where the drunks are. Yeah, you know, go into some Facebook groups and you read the threads. There's a lot of crying out there for help. And I know are concerned about anonymity, but, you know, I'm going back to, you know, where does it say, you know, I'm willing to go to the lowest place to carry the message. And sometimes that's Facebook.
Hi, I'm Vicki and I'm an alcoholic. It's the subject that I have two different views on it. I've been involved in online AA since the 90s, so I'm very familiar with it, and I've learned through trial and error to keep the AA name out of it. That's our tradition. That's not hard to do. If you want to say you're in recovery, you go for it. But just keep the AA name out of it. You can reach out. Somebody will reach you. I promise you. You know, you tell them you're in recovery and somebody that's wanting you interested, they're gonna message you. They're gonna private message you and say, hey, what are you in recovery for? Yeah. But then there's people like me and, I got Facebook pages, I got family all over the world, I've got friends, and I'm a nurse, and all of a sudden I have somebody that posted, and how it got in the middle of my page I have no idea, because she's a member of a private group and it comes forth on my page, and she's like, I don't care what anyone says about AA. I'm proud to be sober, and, you know, and then I've got people asking me, they're like, you know, this has happened two or three times, what's up? What's up with you? I can't blow my anonymity. So the only choice I have is to be friendly. You know, if you want to help out with recovery, and I've had a lot of those come up, and I just tell them, you know, oh yeah, I know them. They're involved in social work, and they do a lot of that with the recovery, you know, neighborhood. That's simple. But when they come out with the blank, you know, AA and all that, it's hard for me to account for it. And I have to be friendly. And I don't like doing that. I kind of like hearing my friends. But if that's what you're going to do, I can't handle it.
I'm Sam. I'm an alcoholic from North Carolina, Area 51. I'm also 49 years old. And I am a my home group is young people in Greensboro, North Carolina. One of the things that I found is that if I want to communicate with young people, if I want to know their language, I have to be around them. And for 2 years, they've been my home group, and I've been a part of the group physically, as well as online, in Facebook groups, and in other ways. There are people that I will choose to speak to who may post something that's obviously AA at a public level on Facebook. And I will have a private message with them and point out to them that they've done this. And every time, they have corrected it and been grateful for someone pointing it out to them. There are people that are not worth the time. Choose your battles wisely is something I was told a long time ago. There are some things that are just not worth beating my head against because they're not gonna do it. So what I do is speak to the people that will listen. And I lead by example. Almost all of my friends on Facebook are in recovery. They are in a friends list called FOV, Friends of Will. When I share something that is specifically about Alcoholics Anonymous, and I will, and I do, I ensure that it is set only for the FOB friends list to see it. And I also note in the post that this is a post that only friends of Bill can see. Only my friends in recovery can see this post. Now, I will post at a public level, and I do it a lot, and I will post at a public level that I'm in recovery. Especially when it's sobriety. I want people to know that I'm sober and that they can be sober too. I have found a solution. I don't say anything about fellowship. It's known. We know this is a gray area. We also know that we have conversations in coffee shops. I work with my sponsor at a Starbucks every Thursday at noon. It's public. But I'm not the face of AA, and I do not report myself to be that, and I do not try to be that. And I think that that's the most important thing, is to respect the spirit of the tradition as strongly as I can. And also to note that social media is all over. You know, someone was just talking about Reddit, Insta. I mean, I'm not on Reddit all that often, but I've been in some rooms where there were conversations about Alcoholics Anonymous on Reddit. Instagram, I follow meme accounts that are all about recovery, and some of those things are vicious. They're awesome. You should check them out. I'm on Facebook. I'm in private groups and closed groups, closed groups and secret groups on Facebook. And I'm in some open groups that are just about recovery. They're sober people. I'm in the Gay Sober Men group on Facebook, which 3 years ago had its first conference. This is a group of gay men at 8,000 strong. That existed for 8 years on Facebook and came together to create a conference. We need to meet people where they are. FetLife. Anybody heard of FetLife? FetLife is a kink website. Think of it as kinky Facebook. There's recovery on there too. It's everywhere. So I show up wherever I happen to be, and I'm sober Sam. And in this situation that's not public, which most of them are not public, they're large, but they're not public. I will talk freely about my recovery. And if it's an appropriate situation, I will talk about the fellowships in which I'm a part of. I think it's important to meet people where they are and respect the spirit of our tradition. Thanks.
My name is Jordy, and I'm a grateful alcoholic. Kind of to reflect on some of the things that have already been said, and base some of those things on things that I've actually experienced. There was a young man that I knew, that was from my home group when I was living in Houston. And every post he posted was of his 6-month chip, his 18-month chip, and how AA is life, and all this, and his new AA tattoo, and I see this going on, and I pulled him aside and mentioned it to him, and he kept doing it. And I observed on his page, there was, then all of a sudden you could tell by his posts, that something wasn't quite right. And, next thing, there's a photo of him drunk at a bar, shirtless, whatever. And the first comment on there was, I guess, AA doesn't work. And for that reason, and then that's the reason I don't talk about AA on social media. But I do talk about my recovery. And I do talk about these milestones that I've hit. And because I'm proud of that, and I can say, I can tell you 3 instances between maybe my second year and my fourth year of sobriety, where 3 different people reached out to me because I posted about this. And I didn't say a word about Alcoholics Anonymous. I just said, I'm grateful to be sober for, year 2 or whatever it was at the time. And that individual messaged me reaching out for help. And all I did was say, I gave him my phone number and said, give me a call. And I shared my experience, strength, and hope, and they got themselves in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you can be that only version of Big Book that somebody sees, and it doesn't have to be a face-to-face conversation, especially in this day and age where everything is social media. It was mentioned earlier that social media is, taking over websites. And I mean, it's the way the world's going these days. And we can either get on board, and carry the message to the alcoholic who's still suffering, or we can try to protect ourselves and ignore it. But, I think that we can do so. But do so safely and in honoring the traditions.
Karen O'Collin, I've been feeling like a real putt, like I'm the last holdout. I'm not the Facebook person because personally I don't do Facebook. But it suddenly occurred to me as you were talking, these Facebook pages are a part of your fellowship where what has been, when it keeps coming up in our area, it has to do with general service. And I don't understand why a Facebook page for Area 8 serves a greater purpose than a WordPress website. So I don't know, all of a sudden I'm confused. It's like, you guys have some passion. And I just see this and it's like, gosh, I want to be a part of that now. But is anybody using this on the general service level or just in your phone groups?
And Bliss Alcoholic. Not on a general service level in our area. We have a private Facebook group for Friends of Bill in the area. And they are added to it upon request or when they hear about it and they want to be a part of it. There's also a private Facebook group for IEPOC, and our advisory council and our host committees also use private Facebook groups for that. But our general service doesn't and hasn't yet, but definitely an option.
Hi, I'm Vicki again. I just wanted to mention that we have, down in Florida where I live, we have a lot of people that are snowboats, so they're not there all the time. And our group, my home group has a, Facebook page. It's private. And it's just for our home group members. And it simply just keeps them informed because some of them are in Vermont, Massachusetts, and all that, you know, in the summertime. They just can't deal with Florida heat. But anyway, I can't deal with their cold. But that's what we use it for, and it's not used all the time.
I'm Rebecca, I'm an alcoholic. In our area, I live in Knoxville, Tennessee. We have one for our inner group that we use to host events, and it's a secret group. We have one for the state of Tennessee. We have one for local clubhouses. We have, and all these are secret, so people can't see them. And I feel like it's getting that information to people where they are. So we send out our newsletter, we send it out over email to like 400 people, and we have like 20 people click on the link. So I also go and post it in our Facebook group because that's where people are going to see it. And that's like, I don't care about the analytics. I just want to get the information out there to them as best I can. And that's where they are. They're not like, hey, let's go check out the inner group website. Like, that's not something they're going to do on a Tuesday afternoon. They're going to check it out while it's in their news feed on Facebook. They're already there anyway. Is where I see the real value in it. And it allows for real-time communication. Even like the, you know, the TIAA forum, I feel like it's something you have to intentionally take time out of your day to go visit that website instead of being something that automatically just kind of shows up in your feed. Another thing I worry about with anonymity is because we are so conservative about it and we have people that, you know, do go out and the first comment is, well, AA doesn't work. There's no one there to say AA does work. He wasn't working it because we're not doing a good enough job in PI. We're also, I don't know why we think if we don't have the conversation that people are just going to quit talking about AA. So everything that is out there is not from our perspective. It's from people on the outside looking in saying, this doesn't work. Or what, that it's a religious program. It's, you know, all this stuff that we know is not true because we're not having that conversation. I don't have a solution to that. To, you know, I don't think we should all go rush out there and comment on every post ever. But I think, you know, no, I'm saying like when there is a page and somebody makes, you know, this guy is talking about his, like, because we don't talk about it because we're concerned about anonymity and we're trying to observe the tradition, all the information that's out there is not from AA members. It's not from people who the program does work for that say, yes, it does work for me. So I don't know the answer, but that's my concern.
This is Joel again, if you remember. Yeah, there are, like in our area, the CFC, people, not necessarily the committee, are very aggressive on Facebook. Because, it's a fairly large committee, but the members, in the CFC, they're doing everything humanly possible to reach everybody they can. Because that's just, that's, in our area, it's a really sour note. It's a really tough scene. The jails are overcrowded. They have a difficult time getting into them. They're being shut down, closed down all the time, getting in and out. So they're very aggressive. And, you know, just to answer a quick question that I was asking earlier about the differentiations, when you're in that private or closed or secret group, you're looking at a news feed that's not necessarily being shared with your friends. This is your storylines. And understanding social media and the structures That's what people don't get. You know, when you're looking at your personal feed, and then you have a choice. Somebody else brought up. You don't have to unfriend somebody. You can actually go in and hide that single message or post on your newsfeed or your storylines. So it's just understanding how to use social media as a tool. You know, CFC knows they're very aggressive. They're not breaking anonymity at all, but they're aggressive at posting. You know, this one individual is like, he knows he's going to break his anonymity, but he's at this prison and he helped like 30 people, and he's aggressively showed a picture, not necessarily the prison, but he'll maybe do a Google drop pin, and he's telling people, we're helping people inside the prison. He needs to let everybody know. Because even people in prison are on Facebook, and they're looking for help. And if they show that to a warden, that there's this going on in Facebook, this is a funny thing. The warden will go, well, shoot, if that's happening at so-and-so's prison, maybe I should get that over here and help my guys out. It's funny how that works. You know, it can also work against you in some ways, but, you know, it's just a little thought. It's not that we're not trying to throw people's information out there. The CFC guys are very aggressive because they know it's spreading the word.
Hi, Glenn, alcoholic. My experience is going to be a little different. So I heard a lot of talk about the anonymity in terms of the 11th tradition. I haven't heard a whole lot about our 12th tradition of anonymity. Regardless, if I say AA, implicate AA, why am I shouting from the mountaintop? And I appreciate the desire to help. My understanding of the responsibility statement is when someone reaches out for help, I'm responsible. Doesn't say I'm going to be chasing down those or shouting from the mountaintop. Facebook is somewhat new. Some can argue, but I can tell you before the World Wide Web existed, how people got sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. And basically, me putting a post with a chip on it, with no mention of AA, is no different than me renting out a billboard 20 years ago, or putting a flyer up in the school, or anywhere else. And it's not an individual-to-individual connection of, oh, yes, I can help you. You know, I found a solution that works for me. This is me putting a public post, basically. However I want to code it to try to maybe work around a tradition. What truly is my motive to break my 12th tradition of anonymity, of the humility of the fact that I had very little bit to do with whatever anniversary I happen to be celebrating? Look what I did. No, I didn't do this. And I might feel that I'm being a great power of example, but the harm caused by that might be greater than whatever perceived good I'm doing of it. So how do we do this then? Well, this is the power of the group, right? Because the anonymity is at the personal level. Why do we have this fellowship that's beyond just a whole bunch of random individuals? This is the power of the unity of the group. The group doesn't necessarily have that same level of anonymity. If that was really the case, then, you know, meetings wouldn't really exist. You know, we would be meeting in secret locations. But the group itself can exist to do just that. And it can attract those newcomers and be available. And definitely at the greater levels, you know, farther down that triangle. And this is where our PI, CPC functions really serve their purpose there. But at my level, it's important to me to remind myself of, you know, I didn't do this on my own. You know, this isn't what would really be my
my desired goal, you know, what's my motive, basically, in posting my chip there every year, completely publicly. Just won't do that. I'm involved in a couple of groups that are general service related, but not tied directly to a particular general service area. I have found those to be somewhat effective. I think there's definitely value there, just from seeing the comments. Myself personally, it's challenging because unlike when we all gather together at the same time in the same place, somebody may post something and the comments that you're going to receive are whoever's available at that moment. And then somebody else might jump in like a week later, but by that point that we've moved on to something else. And it's difficult because you might get one side or another of a conversation, and it's really kind of challenging in some aspects. So there's definitely been some, I see positive value in this sharing, but at the same time, like I might try to post something and, well, the post doesn't quite come out right online, and here we go. And, you know, I'm still somewhat on the fence about how effective of carrying the message Facebook is within our fellowship right now. So just some things to think about. One last thing is that I feel that there's a lot of value. There's a lot of really technology-oriented, very wise, smart people in this room. And I think some value to add to our fellowship is having that intelligent conversation about anonymity, not versus, but the difference between anonymity and privacy also. And that get blurred a lot. And I'd like to see more conversations about, we have our two traditions of anonymity, but we also have privacy concerns on top of that, and how we can kind of work in that space to effectively, again, to effectively carry the message. Thank you.
Feels odd mentioning my name again. Doug Alcoholic. Working on clarity and communication in my personal life, and it occurred to me as soon as I sat down, the gentleman that just spoke, you're not in the minority today. You know, you don't have a different opinion than I do. The 11th tradition and the 12th tradition have different applications in social media for me. I've broken my anonymity that I can think of twice on a public level. You know, once I posted a chip in a Facebook group, and I thought I was doing it to carry the message. Once I broke it in a face-to-face setting with, you know, a group that I'm involved with, and I thought I was doing it so that you knew that if you had a friend that was an alcoholic, you could come to me. In both cases, nothing came of it, good or bad. And I realized later, I was really doing it to stroke my ego. And I've come to the conclusion for myself that breaking my anonymity publicly, you know, I need to, you know, it's the humility, you know, in that 12th tradition, you know, humility and spirituality, you know, that Hal Marley, Morley used to have a great saying, and he's passed away now. I can't repeat it, but if anyone remember, you know, the 12 traditions, spirituality and anonymity, humility are all related. You know, so for me, you know, it's very clear on that. I don't use Twitter, you know, for, because Twitter is completely, you know, open. Facebook gets a little more complicated, and I'm not sure that we quite touched on it here, but we've touched on it, but I don't know that we've clarified it. You know, Facebook has public posts, public groups, private groups, and is it public, secret, and closed? So a closed group is still people, my friends can see that I'm a member of the closed group. You know, and, you know, closed groups to me are have some inherent problems with them. I mean, I'm still having a communication, you know, that's kind of private as an AA meeting really is. But I've publicized now to the world, I'm going to the AA meeting. You know. But secret groups, and I think that some of the areas here are talking about using secret groups. Secret groups, to me, my personal opinion, are a good place for us to carry out our communications. It's no different, you know, I'm trusting Facebook, which I don't really trust. You know, I'm placing some trust in the social media platform that they're going to honor their privacy rules and that, you know, nobody from the company is going to expose my information. But, you know, I think that it's nuanced. You know, when we start talking about social media, you know, and there are different levels of privacy that we can't control. And it's important for me to think about that here and just not say, oh, bad, bad, evil, you know, social media. So I completely agree on public posts, you know. I had one more thought and it probably disappeared. You know, I do this a lot and it just means I'm probably not supposed to share and then I sit down and the meeting's over and maybe nobody else needed to hear it. It's related to what I said earlier, which is, you know, where it gets boring for me is that those closed groups, you know, yes, a private detective could go and see that Doug is driving to the Salvation Army or the jail or the detox, and they can see that I'm there. And certainly a closed group, somebody can look at my groups that I belong with and a lot easier than a private detective determine that I am a member of these groups. But that's where I was speaking earlier, in my opinion, it's worth it to me if I can be a member of that group and reach out to someone, you know. And, you know, somebody else made the point that, the responsibility statement, I'm responsible whenever, you know, somebody reaches out for the hand of AA, I want to be there. Well, there are groups where people are reaching out, you know, they're sobriety, recovery, AA groups. And if you go into these groups that have hundreds or thousands of members, and every single day someone posts, I'm having problems. I cut down on the groups that I went to because it's overwhelming to try to help in that area. But I still belong to one group like that where, you know, there are a lot of people there are a lot of people with lots of years of sobriety, and then there are a lot of newcomers. And I think I personally, Doug G, I need to be there. So this is certainly for me a worry topic. And the last thing I wanted to say on all this was, putting on my different hat and not just, my opinion hat, we do have a conference, a workshop report that is being collaboratively created. And we've done an awesome job of doing that all weekend. I put some notes from this session in there. Please go look at it because that my notes probably show my opinion more than they show your opinion, and we should have a balance.
I am Susan. I'm an alcoholic. I want to share some real experience with you. If you are in the last job you are ever going to have, then post anything you want on social media. But I can share with you from very personal experience, if you are going to have a background check, be careful what you put on social media. I've had the experience of more than one time sitting down with a detective and having to go on Facebook, put in my password, and having them go through everything on my Facebook page. Any background check you have, just know, and obviously I was okay with it, but that does happen in real life. It really does happen. I got sober in a real small town in Corpus Christi, Texas, and I was a chemical dependency counselor when I got sober. I was Jekyll and Hyde. And I thought I had the greatest story in the world. I thought I'd be the poster child for AA. About 2 weeks later, the director of that treatment center called me in her office, who had been sober more than 30 years. And she set me down, and she had a come to Jesus meeting with me. And she told me to stop telling everybody I was in AA. And if I wanted to tell people I was sober, that was fine. Or I was in recovery, that was fine. But to not use the name of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, but Ann, she had this real gravelly voice like our governor at the time. I said, but Ann, I have this wonderful story. I want to go public. And she said, you will not do it in the name of Alcoholics Anonymous. And she had to really explain to me why I couldn't do that. And she gave me examples of all kinds of celebrities who had done just that and then drank. And I can now tell you, because I've been sober a long time now, of all kinds of people, sometimes people with more than 20 years, who have used the name of Alcoholics Anonymous and then gone out and drank. And the public has looked at Alcoholics Anonymous as a failure, not at that individual. I believe we have to be careful and not use the name of Alcoholics Anonymous, but use our name. And I do use my name. I do tell people that I'm sober. But again, I think we have to be careful with Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't ever want to keep somebody else from something that I have so freely been given.
I'm Mark. I'm an alcoholic. One of the things I know from the traditions is you usually... it's almost impossible to break just one of them. You tend to break, seriously, you know, when you break one, you tend to break multiple. And nobody brought up 10. And, you know, one of the big problems is that if you have a Facebook account and you say you're an AA, but you're also affiliated with the church, or you're also affiliated with, you know, some public organization or a party, you know, a political party, you're breaking that tradition as well. Because if you're posting stuff about that, in addition, and you can be pushing people away. And also, we don't have any affiliation with outside enterprise, too. So if you're mining for Bitcoin and trying to sell it on your Facebook page, you know, again, it's like you have to be really careful about all of the traditions. You know, you have to look at all of them and the overall impact. And I want to make I'm not a celebrity or anything by any stretch of anybody's net, only in my own mind. But I had 27 years of sobriety and went back out. And, you know, I mean, from all looks, I was the golden child for AA. But, and I'll just, for all of you here, because you're all in AA, I quit going to meetings. AA never failed me. But somebody outside, you know, they don't know that, you know. So, but anyway, it's really important that I've been in technology my whole career. I think we should be where people are. So that reach out thing, we have to be where they reach out. You know, I absolutely positively believe that. But AA is here for me today because these traditions exist. And regardless of whether they were written in 1939 or 2019, they still apply and they still are correct. And from my experience, you know, I think we have to ensure that AA is here for future generations. But at the same time, these generations with today's generation with technology, you know, it's a whole different world. And in that sense, the way that they communicate, you know, but the truth is that, you know, there have been some really good comments here about how we can not break our anonymity and be there when people reach out. you know, the Reddit example, I love what you said was really important, because the group, you could create a profile as a group which doesn't have an individual associated with it to respond to those kinds of things. Or General Sir, when you were talking about responding to negative abuse, you know, you could have info@AA or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So you could have somebody that's not actually an individual, you know, exposing their anonymity. So there's definitely ways around it, but we have to really think as an organization. But the main thing is, somebody said we're not the police. Actually, we are. Unfortunately, every one of us, you know, I'm not the police, every one of us, because it says that in the traditions as well, that it's our responsibility to make sure that AA is here, and that it's our responsibility to protect the traditions. And I do believe we have to be online. We have to make it easy for people who want to reach out. We have to, you know, and I mean, it's okay, you know, to make AA accessible. We shouldn't be hidden. But it's the personal anonymity level is really important. It's really important because it can have such a negative impact on AA. What looks like a, and if you read all the stories from the history of AA, and you read even in just the 12 and 12, you know, it gives those examples of people who wanted to be the poster child for, you know, for a beer company who wanted to, you know, help people not drink, you know, not drink too much, and go to AA if you, you know, drank too much. But then that exposes us to that risk, and that risk is real because we're all fallible and we're all human and we're all alcoholics. So that's all I got.
Our time's come and gone. I appreciate everyone's feedback on that topic. That was near and dear to my heart, so I appreciate everything everyone said. Thanks.